Hey everyone, this is George from the Apple Juice Show. Today is May 9th. We've got a bunch of people on our panel today. We have Sean Blake from BlueFoxOnline.com.
How goes?
We got Sean Quinn.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yes, and we have Spencer Claiborne.
Yeah.
All right, you there? All right, we got a lot of topics today to talk about. New thing, you can buy movies right now directly on your Apple TV. No computers required. How many of you have an Apple TV?
I don't, but I have a bunch of friends that do, and I do that all the time. I don't really think this is new news, though. You've been able to do this since the SDK was released.
Well, yeah, but now you don't have to have a computer.
Well, I know, but since the SDK was released, you haven't had to have a computer. Not the SDK, since the new the Apple TV Take Two.
Yeah.
Right. Well, before this, as far as I know, you could only rent on your Apple TV, and then you'd have to buy the movies on your computers and stream it. So now, as far as I know, the Apple TV lets you stream it directly from the hardware itself.
All right, I had an Apple TV.
Oh, that makes sense. All right, sorry.
I had an Apple TV, but it actually never really worked good, so we had to return it. But I know I have an iPhone, and you, Blue Fox Online, that's what he wants me to call him. You have an iPhone, right?
I do, yes.
All right, what was going on here? They first disabled the free Wi-Fi, and then they brought it out, and then they disabled it, and now it's for disabled free iPhones, and then they disabled it, and then now it's back online.
Yeah, I think it's not. I think there's just
mistakes.
As far as I know, it's disabled again.
Well, the changes it says right here. Where did I get this from? I got it from Gizmodo. It says changes in its mind that it might be back. Or wait, I had actually an I found an RSS feed. It said it actually.
It should be important to note that these are AT&T hotspots. This isn't Wi-Fi just in general.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. No, right, but what? Also, the airport, right? The airports have it, and Starbucks. Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Starbucks is the biggest example.
Airport.
Yeah, Barnes and Noble, which is
right.
Go ahead.
Most of these places provide their own, Wi-Fi. I mean, it's simple to set up a router, set up the Wi-Fi, put a web key on it if you need to, and distribute it out as needed. But I believe this is just for AT&T specific hotspots, so it's not really too effective when it comes to, you know, using your phone day to day. I mean, I actually turn off my Wi-Fi for the most part because I'm not really using the internet too much on it. And if I am, I'm going through the Edge network.
Yeah. Now, what I was talking about is the AT&T. Yeah. It says, I was looking at, on Dig. AT&T officially lists the Wi-Fi hotspots access with the iPhone plans. If you look under the plans tab, I'll put that in the show notes. It's a picture of it, and it says that it's going to have it like at different places.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My question is, even though I understand why there's an issue with disabling the Wi-Fi in AT&T hotspots like a Barnes & Noble or a Starbucks, like mentioned, and some airports, why is it such a big deal when you still should have availability for Edge in those areas?
Because
some areas don't have Edge.
See, this is the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Some places don't.
See, the thing is, I thought is that the areas that would be most affected by this, like a Barnes and Noble or a Starbucks or an airport, would be places that would also have Edge. But I guess there is probably some places that won't have Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A lot of news today on the iPhone, actually. T-Mobile confirmed that the 3G iPhone is going to be in Australia. That's really nice. I have a couple people.
I think you mean Austria.
Austria, yeah.
Austria, not Australia.
Then here we are. Vodafone is going to deliver the iPhone to Australia, Italy, and other countries. That's really nice to hear.
Are you sure you mean Austria? It's interesting how they're going.
No, there's one right here. It's Vodafone. It's a totally different one.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Italy, different places like that. There's a lot of good places.
That's right, because cool. T-Mobile has the one in Austria. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And then...
They've been asking...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just interesting. I actually have a good friend in Austria that has been begging for one for quite a long time, so dream come true for him.
And this is the third generation as well, so this is big stuff. Mm-hmm. This is the newest model. They'll get to have it first.
Yep.
Did you guys see the one where it says that the AT&T customers, last year, this is a new one. Last year, when the iPhone was coming out, before the launch, they put specific dates for the people not to take vacations.
No.
What about the people, like employees?
Yeah, the employees of AT&T, like they said, like this is actually another topic here. The two different topics in one, but the AT&T employees are not allowed to take vacations from June 15th to July 15th.
Interesting.
Because of the 3G iPhone launch.
Yeah, and that exact same thing happened.
I don't think it's that. I think it's AT&T trying to get people to not take vacations, because that's what that's what corporations don't want. Is during a possible release of something, because AT&T only the high up execs know stuff. And it's not the people who make these plans. They're basing this on a rumor. If the 3G iPhone doesn't come out, and they're not going to change the rule saying, "Oh, we're just kidding."
Mm-hmm.
Right, but that's hey, it George. Says here though that AT&T does have limited employee vacations. So
I got some breaking news I just got from the unofficial Apple web blog. So if you don't mind, if I could just kind of throw this in here.
Yeah, go ahead. You can talk about that.
Okay, I just got a text, which is actually a link to the blog post, that Facebook Chat, I was actually talking to Spencer about Digsby earlier today, is a Windows application that will take your AIM and all your IM and social networks and put them together. Well, according to the...
All right.
What I was just going to say is that I know even though he had a Windows program for that, Adium, which is, of course, the biggest multi-client Mac... instant messaging application, has added Facebook Chat to its protocols on the newest version.
I actually saw that.
Coming soon.
And, you know, I got home the other day, and I got a weird IM from Facebook. I was like, what the heck? How did it get Facebook in my AIM? And so right now, I was just looking at it. It says my recent buddies have Facebook on it. It says, I just said hello. And it says the Facebook bot sends IM invites from the friends when they invite you to join Facebook. If you are not on Facebook, please sign up now. You can add the Facebook bot to your buddy list or type in menu for more options. So there is a Facebook bot that I don't know if it works with the Facebook chat though.
Right. No. That's something completely different. That was something made by AI. It was a collaboration between AOL Instant Messenger, AIM, which is the iChat default format next to Bonjour. And Facebook. It was like a partnership to kind of get people to join Facebook. It has nothing to do with the Facebook chat platform, but there is a few betas out of this new version with Facebook chat. In fact, I'm in the process of downloading one now.
All right, cool. Also, American Movil is to bring the iPhone to Latin America.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I actually know a lot of people in Latin America and people that travel to Latin America. And I have family in Latin America, so that would be a very great thing for them to have. Because I know my family.
Right, absolutely. Like the
iPhone. All right. Also, we have Apple issues the 5th version of the iPhone SDK firmware.
Thank goodness.
Interesting.
But I will not be happy until it's fully released, where we have full SDK compilations for any type of add-ons or plugins that we do.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that either. I got the SDK, but I had to. Actually, I just recently got the 4th SDK firmware, the version for the to develop and all that. I recently got that because I had no space on my computer, so I had to delete most of my applications. And so I went out and I actually got this before a lot of people. I got this news, and I don't know where it was. I think I got it in Twitter. That they Twittered and they said that the SDK launch, and I was like, whoa. And so I went out and downloaded it.
Right. And I mean, we're slowly moving along. It's nice, but it's not a good enough pace maybe for me. The only notably supported things that I noticed was the contact search, and that's it. And I mean, for someone that's not really looking forward to simple additions like this, I could care less about even updating at this point, you know?
Yeah. Did you hear about the Chinese handwriting recognition in the new beta?
Now that I did find quite interesting, because I'm trying to learn Mandarin Chinese, so it's actually very nice to see that there.
Yep, yep. That's Apple cool. Also continues to work on their Mac OS X 10.5.3 development. Which it has not come out yet, which I really want.
Now, is that going to be a bug fixing release, most likely, for Apple?
Pretty much, yeah.
Interesting.
Don't know how many of you guys use Parallels or VMware Fusion. VMware Fusion has now released.
I've used both.
The 2.0 beta, and it's free to upgrade. And I actually saw a video on it where you can now have it on multi-screens. Like, some guy did a video where he had it on 4 different screens. You can have that. And you can use it as... You could put VMware Fusion, like, on all 4 screens.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I have a single-screen laptop, so that really doesn't benefit me. So, frankly, like, that's been my main issue between a Parallels or VMware and a Bootcamp is... The problem with me, and I have a gig of RAM, and I know that's pretty insufficient right now for a MacBook, but at the same time, is it really worth what I have to get on Windows for to lose 50%, 60% of my CPU usage to Parallels or VMware? And that's always been my big debate. Or should I just reboot and do Bootcamp, but then I have to partition some of my driveway? So
yeah, I actually,
it's a very interesting thing.
I actually did that. I partitioned my thing, and now... Every time I restart my computer, it comes up. I just eject the partition when it comes up, but
yeah, bootloader.
Also, yeah, cool. What was that? I was just looking at the people. Okay. Photoshop also Photoshop Express public beta adds Flickr support. I've used it once or twice, Photoshop Express, and it's pretty cool. I just
ad supported Photoshop that's on the internet, right?
Yeah. Right, didn't you have this other thing to add about? What? What did you say, Blue Fox?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, being a Photoshop wizard, this actually comes in handy quite, you know, leaps and bounds from what I used to do, because when it comes to Flickr, a lot of the times they don't have the features that I need to quickly import an image and adjust it in whatever way I need to. So this helps. Unfortunately, though, it's with Photoshop Express, and I'd rather have it just be with a Creative Suite altogether rather than being in Photoshop's, you know, alternate, you know, little sister program. So,
yeah, I actually find CS2.
What's great though is,
go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say what's great about Photoshop Express for the people that don't know. It uses Web 2.0 technologies like, you know, Flash to provide users with an online service to store or edit or arrange and, of course, display digital photos. Yeah. So it's compatible with just about every web browser that I know of. I actually heard it had an issue with Opera, but I'm not sure about that. You can add notes to whatever web albums you have up there, and it's a nice program. It's almost like Picasa for that Google nerd.
Google, right.
Yeah. All right, I found a... actually, it was you, Sean.
Right, my little Facebook story.
Yeah.
So, basically, yesterday, MySpace announced a thing called data availability, which is, I know, a thing they're working on with Google and Yahoo, and this is kind of tech in general. What that does is basically, when you have a data on MySpace, you can go on a site, and I know the Facebook, when they launched their version of it, which would be Facebook, I forget the name off the top of my head, be Facebook Connect, and go to a site like a Dig or something like that, or any other kind of Web 2.0 site, and you can sync all your data. It's kind of sort of like an open ID in a way, but not really. It's almost a new way to live stream. So if FriendFeed is able to jump on this or any kind of live streaming app, it would be great because then one can see by just using one's Facebook data, ooh, this is what